Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.
Welcome to the Catholic Command Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here sitting with David Niles. Juan is producer in charge this evening. We're also here with Jim Time.
Jim Spencer.
Dave, you know what we did not do last episode? Which, by the way,
I do know what we did not do last episode.
Our last episode, we've received a lot of feedback from our last episode.
Interesting. I've pondered it, and I have follow-up questions I need to ask Joe.
Dr. Ebley?
Yes, Dr. Ebley.
It was a fascinating discussion. It's brought a lot more discussion in my family also about... Which are good conversations to have with your family. It's like, hey.
Because your sister, she's an ICU nurse.
Right.
You know? Like, so this is very relevant for her.
Right. And so she had some very serious questions. Uh-huh. You know, not that she disagreed. She's way smarter than I am. But she had some very interesting questions.
Yeah, I talked to her about it also.
Oh, yeah. You did on Friday.
Uh-huh.
She mentioned that. But she had some really good questions. And but it's... just good to have those kind of conversations while you are not brain dead.
Definitely go back and listen to our last episode. It's on brain death and whether or not brain death is a real measure of actual death and some of the problematic situations
that are
difficult problems that just need to be, I think, considered more, addressed. They're mm-hmm. not being considered, I think, maybe in the proper light. So go check it out.
Yeah, it's a great episode. And we forgot to mention the dates
for
the camp out. We right before we started, I said, okay, I got to make sure to tell everybody about the camp out. And I forgot. I got too excited.
It's the last weekend of September.
Yes.
September 23rd through the 26th.
Yes. At Clear Creek Abbey in Hobart, Oklahoma. If you go and you just YouTube Catholic Man Show camp out, we did a video, one of the members...
Last year.
Yeah, did a video for last year's camp out. It's so great.
I think in that video, you can see my sweet axe throwing skills.
Yes. Yes. Sweet axe throwing skills.
I have the sweetest.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, okay?
Out of everybody. Talk to everybody about it.
A lot of people are saying, okay, and quite honestly, I think they're right. I throw an axe... better than anybody.
So, if you're a patron member, it's a free event. You just get here. All the food is paid for. The drink is paid for.
If you're a patron, it's free.
It's a free event.
You have to get there by yourself, on your own.
Yes.
Not by yourself, but you have to pay for yourself to get there. You can come with other people, but we're not paying for you to come. But once you get here, you will be free.
Yes. If you're not a patron member, it's $50 a person for the whole weekend, which is still a heck of a deal. Juan and Tyler and Daniel, all Cook and Vincent. I almost forgot Vinny. Mm-hmm. That would have been bad. But all of them get together. We all get together. We all cook. We have beer. We have a whiskey tasting. We have cigar rolling. We have axe throwing. We have forging. We have Irish drinking music at night.
And this next year, we might have two-man tree chopping downing.
Yes, which would be awesome.
Is that the right
it's our
verb?
Fifth, it's
chopping,
our fifth.
Chopping downing?
It's our fifth time. Fifth annual.
Chop downing?
So I think we're going to work in some surprises.
Surprises.
Work in some surprises. Let's get into the whiskey, though. I'm interested to try this one. I've never heard of it before. Benriach. It's a Benriach 10, the Smoky 10. It's a Speyside single malt Scotch whiskey.
We don't know how to say it.
I'm guessing. How do you guess it?
Benriach. But it's Gaelic, so it could be like...
I could be totally off.
It could be like bench.
Yeah.
Something weird.
So the nose, it says it is ripe fruit, smoky honey, and oak spice. The palate, it says applewood, honey maple, spiced pear, and lingering smoked oak.
Definitely get the apple on the nose.
There's three casks. They matured in three different casks, a bourbon, a rum, and a virgin oak for sublime smoothness layered with sun-ripe fruit, aromatic smoky sweetness, and toasted oak spice.
The aroma is really intriguing me
46
on this one.
Percent.
It smells very good.
It does.
Mm.
The reason why I got it is because anytime I'm gravitating more and more to the complex flavors of the smoky with the sweet in scotches. Obviously, I love Laphroaig. I love Ardbeg. But the complexity of being able to draw out a peatiness with some kind of sweetness, with some sort of sherry or some kind of underlying notes and flavors is something that draws to me. I dig.
You're going to like this one.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
It is very good. What are we looking at here on the...
Wow, that is really good.
How many U.S. dollars does it take to acquire a bottle of this?
I believe it was 56.
56 U.S.
U.S. dollars.
Canadian, totally different story.
Right.
I don't even know.
Man,
I have no idea how many
good.
How many
pesos. See, this is why I like these type of scotches, though, because at the very end, you do get that smoky...
Yeah, no, this
smoky,
is
the thing charcoal...
That you were saying. This is great. I like it.
But at the beginning, it's very welcoming. It's very sweet. Not very sweet, but it's just very...
It's definitely
mellow.
Sweet in the beginning.
And then
it's got a nice finish. The aroma is also intriguing. Like, there's a lot going on in just the aroma itself. You could tell, like, every time I was nosing it, I would get kind of a different smell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really like this. We should look up how to say it.
Benriach?
It's not Raic.
No. I don't know.
It's spelled, for those who aren't sitting here looking at it, Benriach. Benriach.
And we'll always have it on our show notes. If you actually go to thecatholicmanshow.com.
I wonder if it's Benriach or something.
I don't know. If you go to thecatholicmanshow.com, though, and click under episodes, we have an episode tracker that it shows every single whiskey that we've had, every man gear that we've ever highlighted, and the topic. So if you ever want to go back...
Yes, that's something people will ask us sometimes. Have you guys ever done an episode on this? Well, if you really want to know, you can go to thecatholicmanshow.com and look at...
all of our episodes, because we have it in a table list form.
Table of contents.
So, yeah. Also,
from there, you can be directed to that episode.
Correct. Yeah, all you have to do is click it, and it goes to that episode.
Right.
Dave, there was something else that I had to tell you this evening.
Okay, well, then you should do it.
Per Luke.
Okay, my godson.
Your godson. He was very adamant that I made this claim to everybody this evening.
Okay. Is he still trying to say he can dunk on me? Because he cannot dunk on me.
No, he cannot. He's not saying that.
Okay.
But he did catch his personal best, fishing-wise.
I saw...
all by himself.
I saw the picture of that fish. And it was a whale.
I
mean, that
was
like a three-pound... That had to be a three-pound fish.
2.8.
Okay.
We had scale.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So here's what happened is, this is what was the whole proud part as being a dad, right? We all were out there fishing. It was me and Luke and Jude and then our buddy Benny. And all of us except for Luke stopped fishing. We'd been fishing for a while. It was very windy. Not really great conditions to be fishing. And so we all left and we were all kind of hanging out, having a beer by the truck. And let Luke, he wanted to keep fishing. We're like, okay, go ahead, bud. So we got engrossed in our conversation. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, yeah, I need to go check on Luke. It's been about 15 minutes. And as I look over, his pole was bent like almost, you know, at a 90 degree,
yeah, straight down,
you know, and he's reeling it in. You can tell he was like really excited. I'm thinking like, oh man, my natural instinct
as a dad.
He's snagged
on something real heavy.
Yeah, exactly. But my natural instinct as a dad was go and help him. And thought, no, this is his moment.
Right.
Like, I don't want to help him. I want him to pull it out himself.
Yeah.
So I sat back and I watched him and he got all the way out by himself, got the fish, pulled him out of the water and started like unhooking the fish. The fish was a whale of a fish for him. I mean, it was a huge fish,
largemouth bass.
Yeah, and so some people over there next to us was watching this whole thing, and they saw it happening and unfolding, and they were really excited for him too because you could just tell. I mean, Luke was just jacked; he was pumped. And so they came over with some scales because they saw how big it was, so that way we could weigh it.
Nice.
And so we weighed.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, because when you catch a fish that big, you want to know
how big.
Because you think like, oh, it had to be. You know, and people don't believe you. It's like, I got a 3-pound bass. You're like, okay. So they're thinking like it was about a 1.5-pound bass. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, 1.5 pounds is a good sized fish. Yeah, that must have been a big fish. You're like, no, it was 3 pounds. I promise.
Yeah. So anyway, I was really proud of him. It was a really cool moment.
Next time this happens, you're going to be like, yeah, so me and the guys, we were over there. We decided to take a break. Next thing I know, I look over and Luke has a fire going and he's cooking the largest fish I'd ever seen.
I hope so. But also to give us Jude some props too. So we built a bridge while we were there, and he was the first one to go across it. After I made sure it was like stable and stuff, you know, he was the first one to go across it. He had no fear and just it was like, I want to go first. Okay, bud. You know,
nice.
Obviously I knew it wasn't going to like collapse, but it wasn't like it was too. Poles, electrical poles that we had on the ground that were tied together, cinched together, and laid across. It was about 18 feet, would be my guess. So,
how hard was it to cut down an electric pole?
It was already cut down. We didn't have to.
Just kidding.
We did not do anything illegal. So when we get back, we will jump into the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. This segment of the Catholic Man Show is brought to you by the Catholic Woodworker. Go to thecatholicwoodworker.com for heirloom quality home altars, crucifixes, and rosaries.
It's also the only place where you can get the official rosary of the Catholic Man Show. Type in promo code TCMS for 10% off all purchases. TCMS for the Catholic Man Show. CatholicWoodworker.com. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada, and Jean. If you don't know how to spell that, it's J-E-E-E-M. Jean!
H.
H. M-M. Thanks for being here, Jean. Okay, so I just had a... Today is my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, her baptism day.
Oh, yes.
Happy rebirth day to Elizabeth. This is her 6th anniversary of being reborn. We also had her daddy-daughter day today, so that was good.
Awesome, what'd you guys do?
Good timing. We went to Red Robin, to where she wanted to
Yum.
Go. Like, really, they only know, like, two places. They only know two restaurants.
Right.
It's Brahms or Red Robin.
Right.
I'm totally fine with either one. Like, they used to know Chick-fil-A, but that seems to, like, have fallen out of their...
Thoughts.
Of their memory or something, you know, like... We never go out to eat. I mean, like, it just doesn't ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was fun. It was funny, though. We got this huge thing of onion rings.
The Tower of Onion Rings.
We got the big one. And so we prayed, and then our food came, and she goes, "Oh, do we need to pray over this?" And I was like, "No, we don't." But we didn't bless it. And I was like, "We did." And I had to explain it, like, God knew that when we said the food we were about to receive, that this hamburger and your hamburger was in the kitchen back there, and we'd be receiving it so soon. And she was like a epiphany moment. We're like, wow, I did not realize God could do that kind of thing. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, happy anniversary into the church, Elizabeth.
Yes,
we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And great job for having a daddy daughter date.
Yeah,
I'm glad you did that.
It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so today our Man Gear is a unique book that actually I believe my wife found and bought, and then I started looking through it and I was like, wow, this is a book that we need to talk about.
Totally.
It's called The Dangerous Book for Boys. Okay,
and I think they call it that because it's pretty heavy, and you could really throw it.
Really throw it.
You could throw it pretty hard.
KO somebody with it. Yeah, it's really well done. It's hardback, and it was actually
the binding on it is really beautiful. I appreciate that in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm going to buy a book, I want it to be nice. You know, not that every book that you buy needs to be nice, right? Because that kind of takes away from. Like the fact that there are some books that are more special than other books,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a paperback copy of the Iliad and the Odyssey, that's okay. But you should like, that's a book. Those are books. You should have a nice leather bound. You know what I mean? There are some books like that. You want to get nice. So it's cool that this one, like the covers, I don't know. It's not gold leaf, but you know, it looks
like it's supposed to be
it's
like
fancy. Looking.
Been like in production for a long time. Is actually written in 2000 or published in 2007.
Let me see this.
And I actually have a surprise for everybody.
What?
I went ahead. I liked it so much that I got.
We get one. It is Khan. I told you the guy's name was Khan.
Yeah. And I wrote in it for the Niles boys and the Posada boys.
Thank you, my
so
friend.
That way you guys can have that and share. So, like, when I started looking through this book, I realized this is basically an encyclopedia for boys, and an encyclopedia book for boys. And it has such a wide range of things to cut that they cover in this. That I mean, I wrote down just a couple because it was like, wow, essential gears, making a battery, which was super cool,
out of quarters,
understanding grammar,
mm-hmm.
famous battles that have taken place in history. First aid, extraordinary stories. So there's a lot of times you're like, I want to be able to tell my kids some good stories, but I don't have time to.
Some astronomy is in here.
Some astronomy is in there. How to recognize common trees, coin tricks, books to read, how to play chess.
How to skip stones.
How to skip stones. I mean, there's so many, like, it encompasses so much. And so when I started looking through it,
how to grind an Italian nib onto
italic.
Italic nib. Thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, you take your fountain pen and it tells you how to grind it into an italic nib.
But I was like looking through this and I realized, okay, these are some of the things that I would like to know myself that in order to pass down to my kids. And so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to incorporate this into my homeschool, like, homeschooling. I'm going to pick out some things that I think is going to be beneficial for them. I mean, it talks about Morse code in here. It talks about how to navigate, like navigation.
Latin phrases every boy should know.
Latin phrases every boy should know. I mean, it's just a wide range of things. So I don't know the author. We're not being paid to do this whatsoever. I'm just like saying this is something that I thoroughly thought of benefit. I asked Mr. David Dean, the superintendent of Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Tulsa, about it because he is very knowledgeable and he thought it was a really, really well put together book. And Deacon Harrison Garlick also looked at it and thought it was really awesome. So anyway, I just highly recommend it. If you're a dad, you know, as parents, we are the primary educators of our children, as the Catechism says.
Oh, nice. Strategies of Texas Hold'em are in here.
See there? So as parents who are we're the primary educators of our children, even if you have children that are going to... Hold on, let me finish this thought before you interrupt me. Sure. It'll take me forever to get this dadgum thought out.
Go ahead.
Even if you have kids in public schools or private schools, wherever your kids go to school, if you homeschool or whatever, you still are in charge of teaching your children the faith, teaching your children how to be good men. And so anyway, this is a book that I thought would help those dads out there who maybe not don't know how to do certain projects that would like they would like to teach their children how to do, or they don't know enough good stories, poems. They have different poems that you should read in here. So anyway, I found it to be very beneficial for me, and I thought, well, if I found it beneficial, there's got to be another guy out there that would consider it beneficial to them.
The Ten Commandments.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a brief history of artillery,
which is pretty awesome. So anyway, that's the book that I wanted to highlight today. Nice. Because I thought it also provides you with opportunities to get your kids outside, to get your kids away from the TV, to get your kids away from their cell phone, to go and do activities together. Even if you don't know how to do them yourself and you need some, you know, creative thoughts on how to do it.
Yeah.
This could be a big asset to you. What are your thoughts?
No, I really like it. There's some really, really sweet stuff in here.
I liked it because it was just, it's so versatile. I mean, there's so many different things in here.
Yeah.
That are not all related, but they still are things that as men we need to know about, and it would be good to learn.
I think a lot of dads might enjoy it even more than the boys.
Right. Well, honestly. I mean, I think that the book was actually written for dads to teach their sons. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to be honest with you. It was Haley's idea. She thought, well, we should get this as a gift. And I thought, you know
she
what?
She has all
You're
your
right.
best ideas.
She does have all. I mean, let's be honest. Both of our wives have all the best ideas.
I know.
So anyway, that's the gear today. You can go on our show notes and there'll be a link to it as well. We don't get any money from the link or anything like that. It's just something that you can
so you can buy it
resource.
Online.
Yeah, you can still buy it online.
Maybe in a regular bookstore.
That'd be awesome.
People still go to those.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still have bookstores?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, do we have a bookstore in town?
Barnes & Noble.
Is it still open?
Yeah, on 71st. Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, I don't know. Do you ever? I mean, your son's still too young,
but he's too young.
But Juan, you probably understand like the struggle sometimes of I only have so much time as a dad. I'm coming home from work. So you have to be very creative. You have to plan ahead. You can't just wing it because otherwise you end up doing either nothing or chores or the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, which might be fun, but.
But
it's nice to mix it up. Nice to have cool things.
If you have a plan and you share it with them, A, it gives them something to look forward to. They will not forget that they were going to do it. And B, it's just about accountability. Dad, you said you were going to do this, and now you're not doing it.
Yeah, accountability is big.
It has some of the baseball's most valuable players in it. So I like, the famous battles. Understanding, I did. Understanding grammar, which as we've gone through Latin class, I realized, man, I haven't thought about this in 15, 20 years, understanding grammar. And after you get past the subject and verb and prepositional phrases and indirect objects, it's like, okay, now what?
Right. It's passive indicative.
Yeah. It's like, so anyway.
PC load letter.
PC load letter.
What the heck does that mean?
What does that even mean? So, anyway, I thought it was a good book. They made it into a show. I don't know exactly. I've never watched the show. I don't know if it's good or not. You go look it up for yourself if you're interested in it.
Tyler McKee is saying they make one for girls too.
That's the other thing I was going to say is they make one for girls. It's like the daring book for girls. I think is what it's called, something like that. And then they also have another one, like a part two of this book. I kind of looked through it just online, and I wasn't as impressed as this one.
It'd be tough. I mean, like, I imagine when he wrote this book, he didn't anticipate there being a sequel, right?
Right. Right. So, anyway, I wanted to talk about that because this last week, you, Juan, and I sat down and had a much-needed guys' night.
Yes.
And we had some really interesting thoughts and conversations, and so I thought we could share some of those for our topic tonight, which will piggyback Excellent. Off of, you know, being a parent and helping. So,
magnifique.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping on a little bit of this Ben Ryuk. What do we decide?
I don't know.
It's really good.
It is very good.
As many of you have known, since we've now been on doing this for 5 years, if you've been listening for a while, you know that most of our good ideas come from either our wives or one of our good friends. This episode was brought to you by Juan. Don Juan, yes. Juan is very, I'm so grateful for him because he's very intentional about making sure that we stick to, you know, the importance of friendship, the importance of like not getting, letting the show, overtake our friendship, because just because we come and hang out every week, for the show doesn't mean that we're spending time together.
Word.
In a specific sense. So Juan did a really, really pushed us to get together for one evening to just sit down and be friends and just hang out and not talk about the radio or the show or anything else, but just like enjoy each other's presence.
Yeah.
And talk about, you know, the things that are going on in our lives and how we can grow together, how we can, you know, become better men. And in that conversation,
it's just a manly conversation, you know?
Absolutely.
Cigars.
Mm-hmm. And in that conversation, it just, there was a lot of things that, like, was brought up that evening that I thought, man, this is just a reflection of like what I need to do better. And we talked about a lot of different things about raising children. And I thought, okay, well, let's just kind of go old school Catholic Man Show here, where we don't have any kind of notes or anything like that. It's just a, let's just,
I brought notes.
You did not bring any notes. You don't ever bring notes.
I thought I had them.
You don't have any. No.
Okay. Now I'm nervous.
But kind of go old school here and just like talk about what, you know, similar to what we discussed that night about the importance of order mm-hmm. with children,
yeah.
The importance of raising them to be well-rounded children, not just like, obviously you have to focus on teaching them the faith, but teaching them other things as well, which is kind of like what this book does. It doesn't just focus on the Ten Commandments and it's not like strongly Catholic. It doesn't have Catholic undertones or anything like that in it. However, the more you know about reality, the more you know about the world around you and how it works, the better Catholic you will be, because you're living in this world from a Catholic lens.
Right.
And if you, I think I struggle sometimes when I'm teaching my children about the faith. I focus so much on the faith and not as much on fun. You know, I focus on, like, I got to make sure that they understand the Ten Commandments. I got to make sure that they understand all the mysteries of the Rosary. I got to make sure that they memorize the books of the Bible. And, you know, all these things that I do want to teach them because it's good. It's good for them to know.
Yeah.
But I know that I have a problem. Excuse me. I know I have a problem sometimes with focusing too much on that, to where it's going, at some point, it will become a strong turnoff.
You're the daddy downer.
The daddy downer?
Yeah. Not a Debbie Downer, but a daddy downer.
Well, it's not that I'm negative about
it. Well, I know, but it's like dad, like, if, you know, the kids are thinking like, all dad does, like, dad just is drilling us all the time. Like, he's not fun.
Right.
We don't ever do anything fun. Like, only thing dad ever does is
talk about
being
Catholic. You know, and so I think that that's a, I know that I struggle with that sometimes of pushing that maybe too much. And so I remember when Scott Hahn came into Tulsa, he said, like, obviously you focus on the faith as a teaching to your children, but you have to focus on the fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to teach them the leisure. You teach them how to celebrate and how to feast and how how to live life to its fullest. So anyway, so when we were discussing this, you know, one of the things that we brought up was order. And you made some pretty good points on that. I'll let you kind of go from there.
Yeah, so we were just talking about order, and this is like the perfect example of how all of our best ideas come from our wives. Mm-hmm. Because I had this epiphany, and I was like thinking about order, and I remember saying this and then like being proud of myself, thinking, wow, it's good. It's profound. Mm-hmm. But what I said was that we need to teach our children that there is a right way and a wrong way to use everything. So even their own toys. I think that there's a line of thought in parenting that let the children be creative. Let them, like, oh, it's a truck, but, you know, maybe they're going to use it for something else. And, you know, like, some of that's okay. I'm not against that wholesale. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also important that we teach and instruct our children that there is a right way to use everything and a wrong way to use everything. For instance, we don't smash our toys. Mm-hmm. Because that's the wrong way to, I mean, that's destroying your toys. We don't do that. Okay. And I said that it's so important to do that because if they think with their own toys, for example, I can use this any way I want, then at some level they will translate that same idea onto their own body. You know, if growing up, everything I own, if all my possessions, I can use them any way I want, then I can use my body any way I want. You know, if there's no order, if there's no rules, there's no right and wrong in the way we use things, then the same thing might apply to my own body. And when I said that, that's when I was thinking, hey, that was pretty good.
Pretty profound.
And so it was so profound.
Scribes, write that down.
Right. Yeah, write that down.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Yes.
So the next morning I was telling Pamela, it's like, late, honey, I said something really good. And I told her, and she said, that's what I told you 3 days ago. I said, you did? And then she said, yeah, remember? I told you how I had this epiphany about how there's order and how it related to the theology of the body. And when she said that, I thought, oh, yeah, you did tell me that. Well, that was a really good point.
It was such a good point.
So good, I decided to make it my own.
Yeah. And so, you know, we were discussing this. We were discussing how, you know, if grace builds on nature, and, like, if it's important to have our household in order for them to know how to use certain things the right way and the wrong way. Like you said, we use toys for a specific way. We don't use toys for the wrong way. When we play with our toys, we play with them and then we put them away, because that's the order of how things work here in this house. And that's why Jordan Peterson is so popular, right? And guys like Jordan Peterson, because he focuses on making sure that you have the small things that you can control in order.
Right.
If you don't have your house in order, then you come home and you're starting at chaos. You know, if you don't make your bed in the morning, that's something you can control. Mm-hmm. And now you have a ordered bedroom. Granted, you have everything in order outside of that, but
there's definitely something to it about just the things in your room. You know, you walk into your room, for a kid especially, and how tidy is your room can often translate into how tidy are your virtues, or, you know, something. It just, because if you're inwardly ordered, then I think that there's a desire in most people to be outwardly ordered, mm-hmm. right? So that the outward thing reflects the inward thing and vice versa. And so we really need to hold our children to a standard, whatever that may be. It's different for different aged children, but
sure.
it needs to be there so that they understand this is just part of life. You know, this is a...
And when they...
Like, girls are the worst. At a certain age, both my sisters, I remember their room is ridiculous.
Both your sisters?
Yeah. Growing up, my sisters, like Becca.
You were already like grown up by the time Becca was around.
So? I remember her room.
Oh, okay.
When she was like 15.
Yeah.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Just Spotless?
No.
Oh.
Oh, no. It was trashed.
Oh.
It was just the worst.
Oh.
I mean, there was like no floor. Just clothes everywhere. I mean, I'm not kidding.
Okay.
And Sarah was the same way. I mean, she. I don't think she was as bad as Becca, honestly.
Now they're both much more ordered than both of us.
I would have to see Becca's room. Maybe. But I would need to see it.
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt.
And then Sarah, if her room is clean, it's because she married Drew, my brother-in-law.
Okay.
I feel pretty confident in that.
Pretty confident. But I mean, I also know that once my children know how to use something, that they do it well, right? Like once they know this is what this is for,
yeah.
Then and they know how to use it, and then to go put it back. There's no question; like things don't end up getting out of control.
Yeah.
When my boys see sticks outside, and they call them battle sticks, and they're like hitting each other with them, and they know this is not really what we should be doing, and so we decide, no, let's use the sticks.
I thought that would be okay.
Well, it is at some points, but then you...
Well, do they have helmets on?
No.
Okay. Helmets and eye protection, now we've got a game.
Elbow pads, knee pads, no.
Right.
But once they understand what the rules are, it's like they're free to utilize them now that they know how to use them.
Yeah. And I'll tell you that kids actually yearn for rules, especially in their play. They actually want rules for their play. I mean, this is more obvious, I think, in little girls because they will sit there and play house. Okay, you're the mom and you're the baby. And I'm the dad, mm-hmm. and they set up the, it's like, and we're coming home for, you know, so it's like, what are they doing? They're establishing the rules of play right at the very beginning, okay? It's like, and they know it right away, you can't play unless you have the rules.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. And then if you start making up rules in the middle, that's when chaos comes into play.
Sometimes
well.
You have to.
Yeah. So we'll keep going on this conversation on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
So, Adam, you've never been to Rome.
I know.
I keep telling you, you have to drop what you're doing and go.
Dude, it's on my bucket list.
It's on the bucket list. I know, man. Look, you've got St. Peter's Basilica. You've got Assisi, which is just a day trip away. I mean, the whole faith is just right there. Around every single corner in Rome is another church that will just blow your mind.
I know. So if you're like me, you want to go to Rome, but you don't know where to begin, check out our show notes. There's a banner that says Select International Tours. Click that banner. They know how to turn your bucket list into reality. They've been doing this for over 30 years, so they know what they're doing. Check it out. That's Select International Tours.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about order and kids.
I have a caveat I need to make real quick. Haley texted me.
Oh.
Because she was going to buy that other book for girls. You know, we were talking about the dangerous book for boys, and she was thinking about buying the daring book for girls. Turns out it's written by a different author, and she gave the thumbs down and wanted us to make sure that we said it on the episode since we kind of hinted at it may be good.
Oh.
It's authored by a different person, and she talks about palm reading and yoga and et cetera in the book. Oh. So don't recommend that one. I do not recommend it.
Why would she do that? That's dumb.
Well.
What does that have to do with girls?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm not... Do not get the book.
In case you feel called to the gypsy life.
Right. Yeah. So I also wanted to... We're talking about, you know, raising our kids and making sure that we're...
Well-rounded children. Not fat. That's not what we're talking
about. We're not
about.
Talking about
not
fat
talking about
children.
Raising
no.
fat children.
No, we're talking about well-rounded children.
Like in their person.
In their person.
Not in their body.
One of the big factors, I think, in raising... well-rounded children is giving them good friends, right? Because, and we've talked about this on the show so several times. When Juan asked us to come out, or you know, and get us all get together, if Juan and I got together, we'd have a good conversation. But bringing you into the conversation brings in a totally new aspect to the conversation and dynamic into the conversation. In the same way, any of us, if we, you guys have a conversation, you bring me in, all of a sudden there's a different perspective, a different thought, and mm-hmm. the conversation is typically enhanced or
sure.
down.
Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Maybe, but it at least gives us an opportunity to flesh out our thoughts.
Yeah.
And the older that you, we've all gotten, we've said this before on the show, but I think it's worth saying again, the older we've gotten on the our kids have gotten, the more we've realized the importance of providing your children with good friends. So many people, when we play this, you know, when we tell people like, oh yeah, we got together on a Tuesday night and we all hung out for a few hours and talked about how to be better husbands and fathers.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a foreign concept to people, right? It's like, what? And I thought that was just kind of a normal, like, guys do this. And there's a lot of guys who want to do it, don't have the friends to do it, don't yeah. know who to contact.
Which is really sad.
But if you're not doing that, if you're not understanding the importance of it, like how I did whenever last week when we were all together, I'd been thinking about that night quite a bit. And it was because Juan, you know, pushed us to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me start thinking also about, well, if it's that important to me, it's so important to your children as well, like to provide them with a good kid, mm-hmm. with good friends so that they yeah. have good conversations, that they can teach each other and you're not worried about what they're teaching them.
Yeah. And because I think there actually comes a point where your kids' friends become more influential over them than you are
mm-hmm.
in certain ways. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. the father still has, you know, this the authority, and at the end of the day, his way will go, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a point where you might be able to make them do what you want, but you can't make them believe what you want, right? You know, and mm-hmm. but your kids' friends can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your kids will be into whatever their friends are into.
Right. And I'm seeing that.
Right. Oh, the friends are into Pokemon cards. Your kids are into Pokemon cards.
Right.
They didn't know anything about Pokemon cards. You know, if their friends said Pokemon cards are dumb, they also would be like, Pokemon cards.
I didn't want any of those.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. And so you can obviously see how that could help. Like spiritually your children or negatively influence uh-huh. your children. And I'm not even talking about even in the Catholic realm, so to speak, but you know, Juan does things with his boys outdoors all the time. They start recognizing reality more. They start realizing that, hey, there is a creator. Look how beautiful this is. They can recognize beauty more. So as we continue growing up and my sons are hanging out with Santi and JP2, and they're camping together, and Santi comes up and says to Luke or Jude, like, look at this mountain, look how it is, you know, and points out a characteristic of the mountain that my sons would have maybe never have
right.
realized.
Sure.
Then they can see a beauty that they would have never have taken into account.
Sure. Yeah, but obviously having Catholic friends is... there's no substitute. I mean,
absolutely. I'm not advocating
because
otherwise.
Stuff like when your kids are all together and then all of a sudden it's noon and somebody says it's noon. Like,
let's pray the Angelus.
Pray the, like this happened yesterday on Mother's Day. It was over at my mom's house and my Lady Pamela's alarm went off cause it was noon and the kids were all in the other room, but I just yelled, it's noon. And then I heard the Regina Caeli break out. Cause, you know, it's
right.
during Easter, you don't actually pray the Angelus. You sing the Regina Caeli.
Right.
You know, and it's just great. You know, like that mm-hmm. is the culture. You know, that's like the secret sauce or something, right?
That's what you want.
Where we're just living and breathing the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea that it's not true, it's like, well, what is it like? I don't know, is the sky not blue or, you know, it's just foundational.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. That's how, if you want to keep your kids in the faith, it starts as early as possible.
It starts with you, but yeah.
But it doesn't work if it's not real. I mean, if it's not a real thing, if you're not really wanting to pray the Angelus
mm-hmm.
and you're just making them do it, right, then it's oppressive.
Right.
And that's a great way for them to reject
the faith.
When they get older, because it's just, oh yeah,
sure.
I was oppressed with the faith.
They not forced
oppressed.
This.
I wasn't oppressed by the faith, but I was oppressed with the faith.
Right.
You know, growing up.
Yeah. What are some of the things that, so for girls like that you are trying your best to do that are that's outside of like obviously teaching your children the faith, but focusing on things outside of that.
I don't know. It's I think for girls, things that you need to think about are like romantic stuff. They're more drawn towards like knights in shining, like the whole love stories. And so you really have to think about what kind of, for instance, every Disney movie has this romantic love story. And is that really are these really the ideas that we should be planting in little girls' brains? You know, like this is the imagination that we want to give them, you know, like this is the way we want to form their imagination. So when they make stuff up, when they tell stories, oh, there's going to be a romantic, you know, like they don't need that. That is not guarding their innocence. I'm not saying that like absolutely zero romance, you know, that's not at all what I'm saying, but it needs to be like
ordered,
healthy,
age appropriate,
sort of like the Little House, you know, like there's a, you know, at the end of the Little House series, Laura Ingalls gets married to Mr. Wilder. And so, but it's not like sappy and flat drawn out. You know what I mean? It's like they're at the right age, you know, it's very appropriate. So I think that's one thing that gets commonly overlooked is this idea that we're planting at a too young of an age, romantic notions inside of a little girl's head who doesn't need romantic notions. She needs innocence. And not that princesses are bad. I don't think princesses are bad for a little girl, right? But
right.
But she does not need the romance.
You're guarding your child's innocence.
Right. I think it's can be harmful to her imagination if these are the things she's dwelling on instead of other more innocent things.
Yeah. No, I agree. For the boys right now, I'm really focusing on like trying to build some natural virtues within the household, especially like all of a sudden my boys, as they've gotten older, I've caught them sometimes looking down at the ground when they're talking to somebody, or not like just kind of like doing this fish handshake, you know, where it's just like kind of a slap and then like, move on. So I'm really focusing right now with them on speaking clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Looking somebody in the eye when they're talking, firm handshake, and also when they're playing outside. You know, we play football together like this almost every night, and somebody obviously loses and gets their feelings hurt. And so I'm teaching both of them at the end of the game to shake hands and say good game. Now, what inevitably happens is the winner is kind of cocky about it, and the loser is like almost in tears and doesn't want to even do anything. And so it gives me the opportunity to win.
Except
in
Dad
grace
always wins.
Yeah,
Dad
absolutely
always wins. Yeah.
And then I punt the ball as far as I can and say, you run and go get it,
right?
Take that. Yeah. But it gives me the opportunity.
Loser cleans up.
Right. But it gives me the opportunity to be able to teach that we win in grace, and that even when we lose, that you have to be respectful to the other player, and like, yeah, you know, and that's a hard lesson to learn. It's not fun to lose, obviously, and so you have to learn.
I'm not familiar with the sensation of losing.
Well, I've read about it.
Yeah, okay. I watched a YouTube video.
I've read about it. I haven't internalized it.
I'm not sure what it's like, but
Joseph Pieper wrote about it.
Joseph Pieper definitely wrote about it.
I'll tell you, I've seen it a lot.
And yes, and does not look fun.
Whoever it is I'm competing against, yeah. But
it gives me the opportunity to make sure. So, I don't know. There's a lot of dads out there that have older kids than what we do, but I think that it's so important to make sure that if you started taking your faith seriously and older in life, and your kids are maybe a little older, and maybe it's harder to teach them about the faith because maybe they are more influenced by other kids or other people, and that you don't have that authority, maybe because you've yielded it or you're giving it up, to start with some natural virtues,
yeah,
and build up order within their lives, and grace builds on nature, and you offer prayers and sacrifices for them. And hopefully they'll be saints.
Pray every day for their virtue.
Yes. Specific virtues.
Yes.
For each child. We'll continue talking just a little bit on the other side of the break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
I said on the other side of the break, but that wasn't the case.
It's a long break.
It's a long, long break.
It's going to be about 6 days.
6 days, and then we'll be back.
23 hours.
Next week, we're recording with Cy Kellett.
See.
So that'll be fun. But, okay, so no. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a good strategy? Do you think that's a good tactic on building natural virtues? Yeah, building up natural.
Probably, like, yeah, I think it's something you have to do. What I really appreciate about your boys is that they're... The idea of responding to an adult with "okay" is not even.
We don't do that. Well,
no, okay. It's always "yes, sir," "yes, ma'am."
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about rules.
Like we at our house, you know, we'll tell them. Well, what do you think? We use your boys as an example. How you know you have to? This is what we have to say. You always say "yes, ma'am," "yes, sir." We talk about it. It's like been a slower progress for us in that department.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad that your boys do it. Otherwise, I'm sure it would be worse.
Well, let's talk about rules. We talked about that the other night, too. And I thought we hit on some good points there.
Like, yeah.
Rules are only rules when they're enforced.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that I know that there are a lot of things happening in my household that we all know does not fly. However, I don't enforce them as well as I should. And so, they're actually not rules. They're more like guidelines.
Yeah. More like guidelines.
I caught myself slipping up even on the very thing that you were just talking about. Like, Jude started saying, okay, to his mother. And I said, okay, this is not okay. This is not what we're doing here. And I had to reinstill this yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And... what happens is you have to be consistent. You have to continue doing it all the time. You just mm-hmm. feel like all you are doing is correcting them. You do it, obviously, out of love. You don't be harsh about it. But you just constantly have to remind them to where it becomes a habit, to where they don't think about it. It becomes a response. It becomes an instinct to do it that way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and that's the kind of thing that they'll start doing it to the parents first.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't do it to, if it was a stranger or like somebody else, not a stranger, but they'd say, be more respectful. I mean, like kids learn to do that, but still I'm glad that they do it. That's like back to the example of having good friends
mm-hmm. right.
for your kids.
Yeah. I don't know. It's good to take a moment and step back and have a reflective, like.
So what do you think about this? I was talking on Mother's Day to Pamela's parents, and her mom was telling us how when she was growing up, if one of them did something wrong, they all got whooped.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like.
I don't feel like that's just it's justice.
Well.
I can understand how
I don't either.
There's some parallels there, right? Because we're in the communion.
You are your brother's keeper,
right?
Know?
And you know we're all part of the body of Christ. And when one sins, we all suffer.
But she
for
said
it.
She said that it made them hold each other accountable because it's like no, you're not going to do that because I'm not getting whooped for it.
I think what I would, I don't know, I haven't thought about that enough, right?
Yeah.
You know, but I think...
It's like one of those things like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. I do see how there are some...
My instincts would be...
It's very old school.
If I played that game, my instinct would be that the one who did the wrong would suffer more than the others, even if the others had to suffer. So if Luke did something wrong, he gets a severe punishment. Everybody else may not get to do something that they like to do
mm-hmm.
because of
right.
that.
Sort of like being on a football team, you know, like
one person gets penalized.
One person messes up, everybody's running.
And I mean, I see parallels.
It's a little,
there, but
it's
man,
a little different
I,
on a team, like
yeah,
because
I don't
because
know. I'd have to really think about
you,
that. A
you volunteered, you know, like,
that's
to be on a team.
My mom did that growing up, and actually in Latin America we have a saying that goes. Pagan justos por pecadores. It says, the rightful and the sinners pay the same price. And if one had a consequence like, oh, well, now nobody gets dessert. Or
but I just feel
nobody
like that's,
plays.
That's against justice.
I think it depends because, on the situation. Like,
you're like taking on a punishment.
Time. It wasn't all the time, but when
you're
it
taking
happened,
on a punishment
remember.
Of a crime you didn't commit.
Well, I think it depends. Like, is it? It depends on the situation. Is it a situation where all the kids are like off by themselves playing together, and then like a window gets broken, or something? You know what I mean? Like, or is it at the dinner table where one kid is having bad, you know,
behaviors.
Manners, and the other kids are not? You know, like, that's a situation where you're not, like, Mom, why can't I have dessert? I was having good manners down here. Like, that's messed up. Everybody knows,
and
like, Johnny's the worst.
The problem I could see immediately arising in my household would be tattletaling. You know, immediately. And that's not something that, you want to instill as well. You know, is just constant tattletaling.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I can see benefits, and I can definitely see things that would go wrong. I don't know. I don't know how to think of it. I don't know how to handle that.
Yeah. No, I agree. That it's like, there's definitely, definitely doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel like, like I said, in the virtue of justice, to inflict a punishment upon somebody who is not due that punishment is a violation of justice.
Yeah.
And is... It would be a tough, I think would have could have repercussions to your children mm-hmm. later on.
And it depends on what the punishment is, but, too.
Sure. Yeah.
I would say there is many times when something happens and everybody else was looking at it happen. And it's like, well, could you have stopped it?
Yeah, you didn't. You allowed this
you
to
allowed
happen?
You allowed it to happen.
Right. So exactly like. But yeah, to say that a sibling is not responsible for their brother's or sister's behavior, I mean, they are to some extent.
Sure,
right?
I mean,
if depending on their age, and
right? But I mean, so
Luke's
about to be 8, right? He's about to be 8 years old. But I hold Luke to a higher standard than I do my younger children, and I even have talks with him by himself, where I talk to him about how because he is older. He has to set the example, and he has to make sure to be the good example to the other kids. And so with more responsibility comes more rewards as well. Mm-hmm. And so, listen, if you're doing your job well, then you get to have you get to feast more, right? It's like it's the same way with, listen, I sacrifice more than my children do. I do more self-mortification than my children do. Because of that, I understand what feasting is even more so than what they do. And the same principle, I think, applies there.
I will tell you that I think that a child who lives under that system, right or wrong,
mm-hmm.
is more likely to have the guts to stand up to somebody else at school and tell them what you're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to just sit back and say like, well... Yeah, so-and-so was bullying people, but I wasn't doing it. So, if a child raised under that system is more likely to stand up to the guy and say, no, you can't do that. That's not, you don't treat people, you know, because mm-hmm. they understand I am responsible to the extent that I am capable
mm-hmm.
For other people's behavior. You know, once again, I'm not endorsing that system. Lady Pamela just mentioned that she thinks this may have only been a thing that happened when nobody fessed up. To what happened.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
nobody fesses up, everybody's getting the punishment.
That's a big variable.
That is a big... Yeah, it's a big variable.
Because now, all of a sudden, when you have a
I just was curious what your thoughts were on the on the idea.
My gut is saying... Now, that variable changes the game because other people know the truth and aren't telling the truth.
But is that tattletaling, you know? Like,
well, when I'm asking,
right,
is a different story than you coming up to me every 20 minutes telling me what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
By my authority, if I'm asking you a question and you know the answer, you have to tell me.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel right, though. Like, if I know... that like my brother did something and we're both sitting there and my mom or dad is asking me like, who did it? Like, I shouldn't have to, he should have to say it, you know, like,
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, and at that point, if he doesn't, then I think that he even gets a hard, in my mind. Listen, you did two things wrong. You did three things wrong. You did the act itself. You didn't. You lied about it because you didn't tell me about it, and then you made your brother say it instead of you.
Right.
So now that's even a more severe punishment than if you would have just fessed up to it at the beginning. If you would have fessed up to it at the beginning, you would have had like 1 week grounding or whatever.
Whatever
the arbitrary thing is. But now because you didn't do that and you have now two other things that you did wrong, now it's 3 weeks or whatever that is. And it is important to let them know. And this is something that we're dealing with at our house right now with lying. You know, you did something wrong. Now, I'm just going to let you know. If you don't tell me the truth and I find out otherwise.
Oh, it's worse.
It's a lot worse.
Lying is one of the worst things you can do in my house.
Oh, yeah. It's the first thing that will get you in trouble. It's disrespecting your mother and lying are the two things that will automatically, there's no way of getting
and
out.
You have to put the hammer down at the very beginning with lying. That is like one of those things, if you let that vice grow roots.
Oh, it's a quick one.
It could be there for the rest of that person's life. You know what I mean? Like you have to snuff it out at the very, very, very beginning. Mm-hmm.
So here's something I do that I want to get your feedback on. When Santiago is getting nervous about what he did and he's telling me, I stop him and I tell him, you have one chance to tell me the truth. If you do so, your consequence will be less severe. Even if I know what you did, if you tell me, your consequence will be less severe than if you don't tell me, even though I already know. I'm telling you I know what you did. Mm. But you have to tell me. It has to come from your mouth. And I call that mercy. I say, I'm going to have mercy, and you're going to have a lesser punishment because I already know what you told me. Sorry, I already know what you did, but you have to tell me. That concept of mercy into discipline, what do you guys think?
I think it's fine.
I think it's important to make sure that they know what they did wrong, right? Because before any of my kids get into trouble, whatever the punishment is, they have to tell me what they did wrong. So that way they know it's not something like, oh, well, I didn't know why I got in trouble, why I got this punishment. No, no, no. You understand the punishment that you're getting because you understand the act that you did wrong.
Yeah.
I think that that's just if you're letting him know, I already know, but you need to tell me. I think that there's virtue, opportunity there of having fortitude of telling the truth. Even though you know you're going to be in trouble, and that there will be a natural consequence to that throughout his life, right? Of being able to know when I'm in trouble, when I'm inflicted with some kind of pain, or I know that things around me aren't going well, that I still have to speak the truth. In job circumstances, right? I know that my team isn't doing well, but I still have to go to my boss and tell him the truth. Those kind of things, I think, pay dividends. But I think it's tough to do, right? It's something that is way easier if you start from the beginning. Yeah. And it's the longer I've become a parent, the more
everything
I've realized.
Is easier when you start.
Yeah,
the
if you start at the beginning with being consistent with rules and rhythms of the life, and you start at the beginning there, it's way easier to maintain.
The tough part with starting at the beginning is knowing when to incorporate a certain rule. When is it that you raise your expectations one degree for the child?
When they show that they can take it.
Well, right, but that is the hard part.
Why it's important to be a well-rounded kid, also because you have to...
I'm saying as a parent, you know...
Yeah, but you observe your kid and see what's happening.
I know
happening.
That. I'm saying it's just hard to do sometimes to know...
I'm not saying it's
you
easy.
Know, when is it that you expect, like, a certain something... Because I think typically, I tend to expect higher things later than what I could, you know, and a lot of times kids aren't capable of doing more because it's not expected of them, you know, but if this, but that's a risk because I'm very fallible. And what if I do lay a heavier burden, like expect more? They're just really not ready for it, you know, and here I am now getting them in trouble because I'm expecting something of them that they're not actually capable of. You know what I mean? Like that's the hard part. And it's like,
that's why
I love my kids. And I don't want to, the last thing I really want to do is punish them for something that they couldn't help. You know, like, I don't want to do that.
Well, and that's why I think I'm so grateful for both you and Juan and all of our friends, because I always bounce things off of you guys to get a different perspective. Right. I always say, hey, here's what I'm, you know, here's kind of what we're doing right now. What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. So, Dave, I would say it happened to me Saturday. Early in the morning, John Paul did something, and he had a consequence.
My godson?
Yeah, your godson.
Unbelievable. This is hard to believe, Jim.
Inconceivable.
Yeah.
And it was a very severe consequence right there and then. And throughout the rest of the day, every time he did the right thing, he pointed out, hey, by the way, I just did it right. You know, so to me, I realized that, like, okay, this is an expectation that is reasonable to have because he's noticing anytime he's doing it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And he's saying, yep, I just did it. You know, and I said, yes, you did a good job. You were compliant the first time, obedient, not talking back. Good job. And that's, I think that's a bar that to me was very clear as like, nope, this bar was not too high because the entire day he realized that he could do it.
Right. Yeah, so. No, definitely.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good example. The question is when they don't all day do that thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes that doesn't mean that they're not capable of doing it. That just means that maybe they're stubborn and they don't want to do it, you know?
Indeed, indeed.
Anyway.
I'm good.
Shut it down.
And Cubase.
You could have said please.
Please.
And Cubase, please.
Some dude named Max was really hating on us on YouTube.